I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Lore Boys. Just wanted to let you know that I thought it'd be funny to play with a soundboard. Just so happens this soundboard doesn't come through on the way that we're recording right now. So I interrupted Ethan a bunch, and it's not even going to come through for you guys. So if you hear a stop or comment on things, I either played a noise of a duck quacking, a small golf clap, maybe a ba-dumps for a joke or something, among other weird noises. All to say, the episode's still there, still some good lore, but if you hear us reacting to something that you don't hear, it's because of the way that we had our stuff set up. But anyways, enjoy the episode on 40K Rogue Traders.
Hello and welcome back to the internet's number one fake history podcast, The Lore Boys. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer, and today we'll be talking about, by request of friend of the show and patron, David, last name withheld, Rogue Traders of the Imperium in Warhammer 40K. With me, as always, is Peter.
Hello.
And Jimbo.
Hey, yeah.
I want to give a special shout out to new patrons, Honeyboy and Reese. Thanks so much for supporting the show, keeping the lights on.
I've been saying Honeyboy to myself ever since your email came in. I've just been like, Honeyboy. Every time I open Gmail, I see it sitting there waiting so we can put it in the episode, because obviously we've got like our invoices and shit like that coming in, invite for the Squarespace, and every time I'm just like, Honeyboy.
Ultra quickly, there was once a man in the middle of winter on the lawn next to mine, and he was sunning his belly in the middle of winter, and he saw me walking by with my dog, and he yelled, I'm the meat boy, and slapped his belly. I think about it a lot.
God fucking bless that man.
I want to know the Bermuda Triangle ghost powers that divide our street, because I never see Jamie's collection of carny freaks, and I am like a kilometer away.
You gotta get out more. I find them near your house too, man.
Dude just goes on a lot more walks than you.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have that dog.
So we're gonna be talking about Rogue Traders. I thought about doing a Baldur's Gate episode because it's be very relevant in the SEO right now, but then at the same time I was like, I'm gonna end up butting up against some spoilers when I'm playing the game as well, so I didn't want that to happen to myself. Rogue Trader is coming out by Owlcat, on the Patreon bonus content, which will be coming out tomorrow. Jamie asked me my opinions on Baldur's Gate 3, where I go into a little bit of detail. I'm actually way more excited about Rogue Trader than I think I was about Baldur's Gate 3. Not because I like Warhammer 40K more than D&D. The opposite is probably true. But because Owlcat, the studio putting out Rogue Trader, is the studio that did the Pathfinder games, Kingmaker and Wrath of the Righteous, which I think are fantastic, fantastic, true-to-form tabletop RPGs set into a video game format. So I'm really, really excited to see what they're going to do about Rogue Trader. And so I decided that we could do an episode about it, huh? So I mean we've done plenty of episodes on Warhammer 40K before. You shouldn't need to really have listened to any of them to understand what's going on. If you want the crib notes that you'll need for this episode, is that space is scary and full of monsters and war, and there's an empire that is the Imperium of Man that tries to carve at our own little slice of it while genociding all the alien races.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Man, space is dark. and full of horror.
I know there's a Sister of Battle in this game, isn't there? Which is the army that I briefly was into painting during the pandemic.
When you say in this game, you mean in the CRPG that's coming out?
In Rogue Trader, yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't really know much about the CRPG. So Rogue Traders are a faction in Warhammer 40K. The original, the first edition Warhammer 40K was Warhammer 40,000 Rogue Trader. That was like the initial title of Warhammer 40K was Rogue Trader.
I'd play a game called Rogue Trader where you like run a shop, but there's like roguelike upgrades along the way and you try and be like the best shop in town or something.
That's Moonlighter, dude. Don't you own that game?
I play
Moonlighter. Moonlighter's sort of that. There's not like boost your sales by 50% for this, or swords sell for 25% more or something. You know, there could be something.
That game exists. I mean, I feel like Potioncraft also kind of touches on that a little bit.
I like that game.
Shop Titans, it does, I think. Anyways.
Yeah. Raid Shadow Legends, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
When are we going to get a sponsor, man? Yeah.
So just, I guess, quick tangent, quick side note. The original Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader is like the first iteration of the tabletop game we know right now, which is like this strategic, you place your little minis and it's very much like simulated warfare where you take turns positioning your armies and fighting each other. The original one, Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader, had a lot more like tabletop RPG elements. So there was a lot more role playing implied in it and things like that. But originally it evolved from Rogue Trader. So this faction, these people of Rogue Traders have always kind of been a thing. And the CRPG coming out from Owlcat will presumably be, you know, you'll be playing these Rogue Traders. So on this episode, we're just going to talk about like who they are, what they are, you know, possible origins you'll probably have in the game. Sister of Battle makes a lot of sense coming into this. And we'll get into all the possible or all the most common origins that Rogue Traders come from, what a Rogue Trader is, what's a Warrant of Trade, all that stuff.
Cool.
Sure.
All right.
I found a soundboard. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to go ahead and quickly delete that from the server. Just right here. Oh, it says we have no. It says we don't even have. Oh, it's because you're Nitro. That's why. So you just always get it no matter what.
I was so fucking confused because it came right as you were just like, all right, yeah, we're going to get into it. And then the beat drops. And I was like, oh, Ethan's trying something new. He's surprising us with a plugin.
I found one that says, let's get it. And if it wasn't music, I thought it would have been cool. We would have been like, let's get it. And we just hop into the lore. But sure. Good.
Now we're DMCA'd. Now we're DMCA'd on YouTube. Now our 15 YouTube viewers aren't going to be, we're not going to get paid for that.
No, we're dead.
I'm going to start us off with a short quote from Saren Travius, who is a Rogue Trader in the fiction. The endless dark of the universe is yours, if you but reach out to take it. Yield nothing, the void respects only strength. So fringes and halo zones, untouched by the Astronomicon's light, are home to renegades and pioneers, remnants of forgotten ancestors. The majority of the Milky Way galaxy remains enigmatic, perilous, and uncharted, even in the late 41st. The Astronomicon, if you guys will remember, is like the beacon that the God Emperor sets up to allow humans to traverse the warp. Okay. So you need the Astronomicon to traverse the warp. If the God Emperor on his golden throne should ever die, or when he does eventually die, humanity won't be able to achieve faster than light traveling. Okay. It'll basically be all cut off from each other.
Right. When the God Emperor's second term finally ends.
Yeah, exactly. the emergence of new worlds, alien societies, boundless resources necessitate the creation of this faction called Rogue Traders, who are independent Imperial agents. They're empowered by licenses from the Adeptus Terra. They venture into uncharted territories, both beyond and within the reach of the Astronomicon. They're essentially, the best parallel for them is probably Corsairs, like they are, or privateers. They're pirates who have been hired by an official body to do pirate things in the name of the Imperium, essentially.
Yeah.
So, space pirate. Okay.
Interesting. I was learning about Buccaneers this week, because, of course, when I was at Bobby, friend of the show's place, there's a book, Buccaneers 1600 through 1680, and apparently it's a very French group of pirates. I didn't realize it was specifically, because Boucan was like basically the original barbecue food, and Boucan became Buccaneers.
You really said Boucan is the original barbecue food, and like there was a dangling assumption there that like pirates barbecue a lot, French pirates barbecue a lot.
Yeah,
like,
they,
I feel
they
like
they
we missed a logical leap somewhere.
Well, no, I something
charcoal grill on deck, just like rocking all over the place.
I mean, yeah,
that's something they did. Yeah, that's why they're called that. Yeah,
yeah. You just you skip that explanation. You're just like, yeah, Boucan is barbecue, so French pirates, dude.
Well, okay. If you couldn't make that assumption in the middle, then you don't get to follow me. All right.
fair. Rogue traders, originally called Rogue Traders Militant, emerged during the Great Crusade and the Horus Heresy. So around the time of the Horus Heresy, and that, you know, about 10,000 years ago, rogue traders are kind of emerging. They're unique individuals combining exploration, conquest, and interstellar trade while serving the Imperium of Man. They're granted a starship, a crew, and sometimes even space marines or Astra Militarum forces. Astra Militarum are the Imperial Guard, just another playable faction in Warhammer 40K where you play as like the regular humans. Like the space marines or the Astartes, you get like these 12-foot tall super soldiers and you get, you know, like 15 of them. Astra Militarum is you get like a bunch of regular humans, but you get, you know, 45 of them for this for the same point cost as that 15 Astartes.
Right, cool.
Rogue traders are hereditary imperial nobles, so they're all nobility, and it's not that only nobles get to become rogue traders. It's that being issued a warrant of trade makes you noble, essentially.
Oh.
So it's essentially a royal title. We'll get into more on the warrant of trade and kind of how that works, who's issued it when, and towards the end of the episode. Their mission typically is to explore uncharted galaxies beyond imperial control. Not galaxies, sorry, I wrote galaxies, but this should be star systems. There are instances, so all of Warhammer 40K takes place in the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah.
We talked on the Tyranid episode a bit about how like, oh, Tyranids came from another galaxy, like they traversed the void between galaxies, and they're the only species that, as far as we know, have done it.
Right.
That we know have done it, I say, because there are rogue traders who have like documented left the galaxy heading for other galaxies. We just have never heard back. Don't know if they made it, you know, who knows if enough time has passed.
That's it. Time gets so funky. If as soon as you're going that way or whatever, it's like,
yeah,
you go, when you go away and come back, time is a funky thing.
Yeah, but distance to the nearest star is very, very far. Distance to the nearest galaxy is incomprehensibly far, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Wow, it's we've like, got enough hard tech for a trillion year voyage, boys. Let's go.
I was watching something last night, and I think if you look at the nearest galaxy, the time that it took to get to our eyes, we hadn't even begun our evolution yet.
No.
Like, so yeah. Like the light that we're seeing is from so long ago because it takes so far. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So that's what the rogue traders, they might still be out there exploring.
Yeah,
so called traders, as if it's just like go to this uncharted planet in this savage galaxy that we exist in, and it's like see if they've got spice. I think that would be great. You take take our technology, see if they need it. Basically,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not to see if they need it. It's more like claim it in the name of the Emperor, right?
Yeah,
that's it's all colonialism in space. So,
Your Majesty, the Tyranids have no use for silks. Yeah, it's just like all dressed up.
Give them the opium.
Yeah, trade offer. You get opium and like many diseases. We get your land.
Yeah, exactly. 2.5 million light years. So if you look at Andromeda, that the light that's hitting your eye left 2.5 million years. So yeah,
that's the nearest visible galaxy. You can even see it in the night star sky if it's bright enough. Yeah,
that's the nearest.
Anatomically, modern humans did not exist at all. That's like we were still little chimpanzee dudes rustling around eating tubers.
I still am, honestly.
I'm still a big fan of tubers.
I still little chimp eat tuber.
Yeah. How do we get here, guys? Panspermia? What do you think?
I
think God probably created us from. Okay. Do you want to know a fun fact? I told Jamie this not that long ago, but I finally got by YouTube Shorts. I quit Reddit finally, but I got by YouTube Shorts.
I've been watching the Vsauce ones too. Now that you have, I'm like, oh well, Ethan's watching him. I better check him out too.
Yeah, Vsauce is very good. There's this other guy I never remember what his channel is or anything. So YouTube Shorts not doing a good job of like selling it to me. The algorithm knows I like them. But he does a lot of like biblical translations. He does a lot of language stuff, and he does a lot of like translations of the Bible. Eve was created from
Adam's rib.
Adam's rib. So in the King James version, that's where the translation was made to English to Latin probably at the time, and made to be Adam's rib. The original word it came from, Tsele, spelled T-S-E-L-E, I believe, was in the Bible like 47 other times, and only one time was it translated to rib. That time, every other time, that word means half or side. So Eve was created from half of Adam, but because of patriarchy and wanting to make sure that women are subservient in the New World Order, you change it to rib, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
fun fact for you.
Yeah, I like it. You can start to think more metaphorically about it too, like being your other half and all that stuff. And like,
yeah.
Or equal just parts. Half rack of ribs, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Eat them up.
Eat them up.
Eat them to the
bone. Yeah, I'm pretty hungry. I'd kill for a half rack of ribs right now.
Oh, don't talk about food, Jamie. Peter's fasting. Come on.
I forgot.
Oh.
Pete's fasting. I just had
a nice big, so rumbly.
Had another bacon egg sandwich for lunch. It was very good.
I had a couple of grapes. Don't tell my doctor.
They're going to see it in your butt when they go in.
They're going to see your butt grapes, dude. Gross. So during their journeys, rogue traders often uncover forgotten human civilizations. We've talked in the past about like the Dark Age of humanity, where warp storms ravaged the galaxy. And, you know, we were pretty much spread out. We were quite spread out across the galaxy, and then all that was kind of lost. These civilizations are often integrated by the Imperium into the Imperium by Adeptus Mechanicus Explorator fleets and Imperial Navy expeditions. I didn't actually see or look up if any of like the Primarchs were discovered by rogue traders. I'm pretty sure they were all discovered by the Emperor, but probably because he can, like, I don't know, like gene seed. He's got the psychic powers. He probably knows, like, can feel where his children are, you know?
Yeah.
He's got a compass in his head.
He's very much like, I give you opium, you give me my giant son back.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the actual like trade he's doing?
He's a helicopter parent. He makes them install the GPS on all of their suits of armor, and so they keep it on. Don't leave your suit of armor at home. I need to know where you are at all times.
Yeah, exactly.
If you miss your bus, I'll know.
The ruinous powers are just like a monkey's paw, where he's like, I'm a helicopter parent. They like subjected all his children to like psychic helicopter crashes to spread them across the galaxy. all to say, like, I think rogue traders like serve the same function for worlds that aren't the Primarch worlds, right? So like we've talked about, like, you know, when the God Emperor shows up on a world and like convinces his son Mortarion, like, hey, you're on the plague world or whatever, like let's deal with this world's problem. Like rogue traders kind of serve that same role, just not on the Primarch worlds, right where they just go, they find these new worlds, they see these like abandoned human civilizations that have been living there for thousands of years, and will like reclaim them and be like, oh yeah, by the way, we have spaceships and stuff, you guys are good, you can stop dirt farming, but also there's a feudal hierarchy, so don't think you're gonna get too far away from dirt farming, right?
Yeah,
dirt farm now.
You can make bricks, but like that's the highest level of tech we're gonna give you.
Exactly.
Work your way up to become a trader, then you're noble all of a sudden. Maybe that's a good route to go, you know?
It's absolutely a good credit. I mean, you got to get issued the warrant, though. It's not easy. They'll also discover worlds just suitable for new colonies, expansion, exploitation. They get very rich in the process. Rogue traders are very good at lining their own pockets. They increase resources, influence, all that stuff. Again, they are nobles. One of their functions is kind of as a diplomat. But there are also like noble houses, and you get like lineages. So like increasing your influence is also like very beneficial to say, like, I'm the one who conquered the petrol planet with all the gasoline the Empire could ever possibly need, you know? And then like here's Johnny Duguid being like, oh well, I conquered the wind power and solar planet full of pristine solar panels and wind turbines, you know.
I'm thinking more about
I can't believe that guy was lost in the warp.
I'm thinking more about the petrol planet. And there's like a duck there who swims into Dawn's soap, and you have to rub oil on it to get it off.
Contamination thing when you get back on board just sprays you with Dawn.
A tanker full of Dawn dish soap is spilled into the oil oceans. Like, what? Our precious oil.
It's just eating like a big cavern into
like
it.
Perfect, like Caribbean blue water underneath. They're like, disgusting.
A rogue trader
clean pelicans covering them in oil. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A rogue trader gets their clout, like I said, from something called a warrant trade, and it quickly becomes their most valued possession. These warrants are hereditary, giving rise to rogue trader dynasties upon issuance. These dynasties receive a distinct coat of arms, serving as an identifier among the imperial nobility. They're empowered by the High Lords of Terra, so the existing, like, old nobility of Terra. Rogue traders hold authority to traverse the Imperium and beyond, enabling lawful interactions with cultures forbidden to regular Imperial citizens. So, you know, your regular Joe Schmo is not allowed to talk to aliens. Traders are.
What would your rogue trader insignia be? I think I want, like, a wolf or a bear or something on it.
Okay. Bear would be pretty cool. I think mine would be like a very detailed image of me like mercilessly executing an alien that didn't subdue to my will. You know what
like
I mean?
Standing yeah. over it, holding its head with a knife to its
throat. Exactly. Yeah, a chain knife because it's 440k, right?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I definitely have one where, again, me deified, maybe a little bit more stylistic, like closer to church art, bringing Christianity to filthy pelicans. I think.
Oh, there you go. You got like one of those like brown apostate robes over your like space suit.
Yeah,
like the little rope belt tied around your waist.
Jesuit hat.
Yeah. You got the tonsor haircut and everything.
I think what you're wearing now is pretty good. Just Pete wearing having an insignia that has cum written in cum.
Yeah. It would be pretty good. Wearing my Adam Friedland merch.
Rogue traders possess the privilege to engage with these cultures on their own terms, as long as their actions align with the Imperium's interests. So they're given a lot of headway to be like, hey, this is your job. Just get it done however you need to get it done. Don't break too many laws, kind of thing. In many ways, rogue traders are the only truly free people of the Imperium. They're not beholden to the God Emperor's strict laws, though if they fly their waxed wings too close to the metaphorical sun of heresy, rogue traders will be fiercely punished by the loyal servants of the Emperor. It has happened before that, you know, some of them get a little too lax, start dealing with, you know, chaos space marines, essentially, and will get caught by the Inquisition.
They're treaters.
Rogue's right in the name, right?
Yeah.
Rogue traders have dared to cross, like I said before, the starless intergalactic voids. Though the success of such missions remains shrouded in mystery due to the limitations of psychic communication over such vast distances. So we've talked in the past about the few minutes ago on this episode, the warp, the immaterium being how we traverse great distances and travel faster than light. It's where psychic powers come from. It's where faster than light communications come from, is by psychically communicating through the warp. And the warp is created by the presence of life, essentially. So the space between galaxies is introversible via the warp because there is no warp between galaxies. Yeah. That's why the Tyranids are the only race to have done it. That we know have successfully done it, because they don't use the warp. They just plan ahead and will travel for 3 billion years and not care.
I was watching a thing about quantum entanglement, and they're thinking our future long distance communication is they find like two particles that are entangled, and if you rotate one of these particles like 30 degrees, no matter where the other one is in the universe, it also instantaneously rotates 30 degrees. So you somehow fucking turn that into a walkie-talkie and you have instant long-distance travel. But
None of it makes any sense, man. We put a bunch of sand in a box and run some electricity through it, and we get the computer. You know, yeah. Like, none of it makes any sense. It's all... I refuse to rule out the existence of a god because this is so sloppy. Like, this is just such a such a poorly done job.
And how do things become entangled, and how do they find the infinitesimally small two things that are entangled together? Or is there a way that they, like a magnet, rub them against each other until they become entangled? No idea. And it's all magic. Yeah. I don't understand how magnets work.
A lot of quantum physics is theoretical, right? Like, a lot of it, like, hey, it works out mathematically, but like a lot of it we haven't proven or tested, and it's impossible to test. Like quantum physics, like it came around in the 90s, and it's kind of like robotics or automation, where it's just perpetually been like, oh, we'll get there, like 10 years we'll have quantum computers, you know, like wake me up when it happens, kind of thing.
But hey, they found like the Higgs boson. They found like a couple of these things they thought were out there, and then they did find them. So
Higgs boson with an equation written on his forehead is the main villain of Death Stranding. Call back. Check out.
Oh, is that really? Right?
bonus episode.
Wow. Good. The villain really adds mass to the game.
More like Higgs Bozo, am I right?
He is. Got him.
Bozo's it's a harsh thing to call someone, man.
Operating without the central authority of the Imperium, rogue traders must make critical choices regarding alien cultures, discoveries, and dangers. Confronted with potentially hostile Xenos races, they may seek eradication or simply information gathering. Alternatively, beneficial Xenos may lead to contact and relations, or even integration. Should a planet prove rich enough in resources, technology, or minerals, rogue traders may opt for plunder, returning to Terra with a trove of space treasures, alien relics, rare minerals, and groundbreaking technologies. The role of a rogue trader demands substantial resources in spacecraft troops and support staff. So they have an army. It takes a village to plunder an alien world. vast fleets of void craft, colossal cargo ships, and devoted settlers accompany them, prepared to establish colonies on newfound worlds. Foremost among these resources in our grimdark war future are the fighting forces, of course.
I was going to ask if it's just bodies, right?
Yeah, tasked with addressing potential threats head on. Like I said, they sometimes have Astartes with them, so they sometimes have Space Marines with them. They sometimes have Astra Militarum, the Imperial Guard. Having your fighters with you is very important. Diverse backgrounds shape rogue traders, including powerful figures from the Imperium's hierarchy, Adeptus Terra, the Imperial Navy, the Astra Militarum, even the Inquisition. Influential civilians, most notably the navigators, also contribute to this unique class. Navigators are the psychics, the psychers, who are able to navigate the warp and psychically find the Astronomicon, essentially. So,
okay, cool. Control C, Control V from Dune.
Were there navigators in Doom?
Guild navigators are the guys in the spice tanks that are like so high on spice they've mutated, and that's how they, because they can kind of see into the future. That's how they don't crash into shit when
I brought Dune on the boat. Didn't even start it yet. Started that other Tchaikovsky book.
Tchaikovsky, the Wolf Children and Time. You didn't get Children of Time. You had the Wolf and the
Wolf and the Tiger.
Yeah. There you go. Have you met both the Wolf and the Tiger yet?
I've met both of them. Yeah, I'll talk about it on another bonus. But anyways, there you go.
I haven't read it, so I don't know. I'm talking on my ass. politics often dictates the path for the rogue trader. Free from Imperial command, they conveniently operate outside the center of power in the Emperor's realm. They frequently carry a reputation as outcasts, a sentiment shared by high-ranking officials across the myriad branches of the Adeptus Terra, who deem them better kept at a distance from the throne world. So there's a lot of instances of them being like, hey, this is a really powerful person who might be problematic for existing societal and class norms. So maybe we just like send them to the fringe, you know? Mm-hmm. Go be a pirate out there. You're fine. Beyond Imperial oversight, rogue traders function as a law unto themselves. Among their ranks, one finds devout servants of the God Emperor, spreading his light beyond the fringes of his dominion. Yet others are a little more than glorified pirates and scoundrels. Many rogue traders exude charisma, skilled diplomats, and when necessity arises, unflinching killers.
It would be a lot more fun if our current real-world politicians just like had their rivals become pirates out at sea, opposed to having them suicide in mysterious ways. I think that would be a lot more interesting if out in the Caribbean there was just like some ex-Clinton aide who was the captain of a sailing ship.
You heard it here first, folks. Pete wishes Epstein was still alive and sailing the seas.
He's got a treasure island already. I mean, it's a great base.
Our prime minister got divorced. I saw a photoshopped image of Pete Davidson holding her hand and walking out of somewhere. I was like, what? Is that real? But no.
That's fucking great.
Pete Davidson, if you're listening, if you're on the off chance you're listening to this, please date Trudeau's
wife. Sophie Trudeau.
Please. Entourages of companions and hangers-on often accompany rogue traders, encompassing alien warriors, mutants, and societal undesirables. So say that 10 times fast.
No, I couldn't do two, so we can move on.
He could do one and then gave up on it. So
I had kombucha in my mouth.
Many within the Inquisition's Puritan faction would swiftly label such a rogue trader, one with the alien warriors and the mutants and the societal undesirables on board, a heretic, because you're normally not allowed to hang out with freaks. Not in my 40K universe.
Nope.
Rogue traders epitomize exceptionalism, achieving success beyond the aspirations of ordinary Imperium citizens, yet their individuality often carries extreme character quirks. So, like I said before, you have devout servants of the God Emperor to actual pirates.
Rogue he's traders, not a murderer. He's quirky.
Yeah.
He's a little wacky. He's a little, you know, just a little goofball, that guy.
Yeah.
Jan van Yostabal, the most infamous rogue trader, and the first to be described in 40K, veered towards the path of an officially sanctioned desperado. Eventually, he started as like a cool rogue trader in the eyes of the Imperium, and then was just like, cool, plundering is great. I get really rich, and just like kept plundering. And like originally, a lot of people saw him as like a hero, like a folk hero figure. Like, yeah, he's going around, he's like saving these worlds, you know, and they're paying him back for his generosity. But then like over time, he becomes like this villain that like, oh, fuck yeah, he's just like, he's jumped the shark, and now he's just like plundering world after world. Like, oh, I've arrived to save you from what do you got here? You got the rock. You got some frogs. You got some frogs in your rocks. I mean, I'm here to save you from those. Don't fear. And takes out his blaster and like shoots a frog. He's like, cool, I'll be in the treasure room.
he only read half of Robin Hood. He forgot to give to the poor. Afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah. He robs from the rich. And it's like the problem with like robbing from the rich too is like, he's now taking that what he's robbed from the rich, not putting it back into the economy, but just leaving the planet. Right?
Literally, he's making like all their money more valuable. He's fighting yeah. inflation one planet at a time.
Yeah. Oh, it's the policy is Roganomics, right? Yeah. It's trickle up into space economics.
There you go. While many traders are flamboyant, reckless individuals, each trader emerges from a distinct background. Newly minted rogue traders may hail from the Astra Militarium, Imperial Navy, merchant fleets, administratum, even the Imperial Inquisition, each offering unique perspective skills. Some lead modest lives, commanding single antiquated starships. Others bask in unimaginable wealth and power, commanding fleets and private armies. Privileged individuals may even forge alliances with space marine chapters, reaping the benefits of cooperation. Some rogue traders delve into mercenary work, leasing their services to the highest bidder, whether pirates, fellow traders, or imperial organizations like the Adeptus Mechanicus, Astra Militarium, or the Inquisition. So often they are guns for hire.
So far, I want to be one of these guys. I thought I wanted to be a psyker, but I think I'd rather be a rich guy who just gets
psyker's
out of
not
town.
A good gig, dude. Psyker is like you're constantly exposed to like hell until you like eventually go crazy and melt from the psychic energy that like flows through you. Yeah. There's like when you use a psyker in battle, like there's a chance that they just melt because like they get overwhelmed by the psychic power, basically.
Bobby had these one class. I couldn't tell if they were 40K or Blood and Plunder, but they were they whip themselves like the Mario does. What's it called?
Age of Sigmar. Let's see. He has a flagellant army. Yeah.
Flagellant army. Oh, so they go in, they hurt themselves, or they have a chance to like kill themselves, but they do crazy damage on the front lines. So you send them in and like hopefully they just wipe out a bunch of people. But
those are in 40K as well. They're part of the Sisters of Battle.
Cool.
Yeah, I think being a psyker, risk of melting your brain or maybe your entire body and then killing everyone around you is bad. When it's like you can just like fly to planets where everyone's still a peasant and get gout, which sounds
I want to be the Mr. Moneybags who just keeps waiting at different doors and then charging dragons to go through them. Exactly.
So let's talk about where they came from. Let's talk about their start. The origins of the rogue traders trace back to the early days of the Great Crusade, a pivotal area in the late 30th millennium. Fueled by the Emperor's will, the pioneering fleets of the Crusade embarked on a galactic voyage of discovery. So again, this is after the Age of Darkness, when the God Emperor of Mankind is trying to reunite all the worlds. This is when he forms the rogue traders and says, like, hey, we just need people to go out and explore. Preceding the monumental expeditionary fleets were smaller, independent flotillas, often commanded by a distinct class of martial leaders known as the Rogue Traders Militant. These leaders, many of whom were former rulers of dethroned realms, emerged from the Unification Wars on Terra and later from the expanse of the Great Crusade. So during the Unification Wars on Terra, which we haven't really touched on very, very much, but also, you know, as the God Emperor goes, finds these worlds which have been just like completely cut off from the rest of humanity for 10,000 years and says like, oh, by the way, we have me, who's, you know, a 24-foot tall man in shining golden armor with intense psychic powers to lead all of humanity. So like submit to me. You know, these leaders facing kind of that critical decision could defy him and cling to his pride and probably just get like orbital bombarded into dust.
Yeah.
Or they could choose subservience and embrace the Great Crusade.
Right.
Opting for service, they embraced the Emperor's warrant of trade that he offered.
There's war on terror in this world too.
Warrant of trade.
Yeah. No, earlier there was though.
War on Terra. Terra being the fantasy.
Okay. But he says it like Bush does.
Yeah, or Terra. So the privilege comes with a cost, of course. The rogue traders militant assume the role of scouts, venturing ahead of the leading edge of the Great Crusade. Accompanied by their armies and assets bestowed upon them by the Emperor, they carve a path through the void, which is not always a super safe job profession, right? Operating on the fringes, the rogue traders militant could scarcely expect reinforcements when faced with overwhelming adversaries. As they delved deep into uncharted space, their fleets often bore the appearance of ragtag wanderers. Many starships were spoils of war, seized from defeated foes, and sometimes even Xenos vessels of unprecedented design. So again, talking about how it'd be the coolest to be these guys to get alien spaceships and stuff instead of just like your lame human spaceships.
It must be tough to run one. Like in Dragon Ball Z, the only reason they were able to run the spaceships they find is because they had a Namekian around already. Like, how do you? I guess you kidnap someone and you make them do it for you, right?
Yeah,
that's the real answer. Yeah.
Or it's just a gap in the writing where it's like, no. Like for 30,000 years, the space aliens has been using the same shaped plugs. Actually, everything still works here.
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't need any of your heretical European adapters for any of this shit.
The one universal constant is the shape of steering wheels.
Yeah, right.
Following the cataclysmic. Returning to Terra was forbidden for these rogue traders militant, the original ones. Like you can't come home. Like, we'll let you live, you can serve, but you gotta go out there. The Emperor's wisdom extended beyond mere rivalry. He aimed to ensure that even in death, these individuals served humanity. Countless vanished, swallowed by the void, consumed by nameless Xenos horrors, or enslaved, far removed from Terra's illumination. Following the cataclysmic emergence of the Great Rift, a pivotal moment saw nearly 100 rogue traders summoned to McCrag for a crucial symposium. I think this is going to be where the game takes place. If I had to guess, it's going to be during this era. So the Great Rift, or the Cicatrix Maledictum in High Gothic, stands as a fissure in reality, a tumultuous galaxy-spanning maelstrom of warp storms that severed the Imperium of Man's dominion neatly in two at the end of the 41st millennium. So this is like modern day, and this is the only picture I have this whole episode. It's just kind of a picture of what the Great Rift sort of looks like and how it kind of bisects the galaxy and has kind of separated mankind.
Yeah, it really means business. It is.
I love bisects. Yo, this is a game. This is going to be a game. I forgot that that's how we started with this.
I don't know for sure. I have done no reading, haven't watched any trailers. I know nothing about the... all I know is like having read now, researched the Rogue Trader faction from Warhammer 40K, I think it makes a lot of sense for you to be a Rogue Trader that is summoned to McCrag by Robuti Gulliman, right?
Yeah, okay.
The origins of the Great Rift remain shrouded in mystery, though numerous theories abound. There was the breach of the Cadian Gate during Abaddon the Despoiler's 13th Black Crusade, which we'll talk about the fall of Cadia someday. The sorcerous actions of the demon Primarch Magnus the Red, the chaos within the Webway, the awakening of the Eldari god Iniad, the destruction of the Eldcraft world BL-10, which I believe we talked about in the Eldar episode, the breaking of the Amenthal Daemon Cage, ongoing war with the Imperium and Tau in the Damocles Gulf, even the resurrection of old Robuti Gulliman himself, all stuff that we haven't talked about. So if you don't know what I'm talking about,
we're blasting through this real quick here, Ethan. Yeah. I don't know what any of these words mean.
We talked about Robuti.
We didn't talk about his resurrection. I don't believe we talked about his resurrection.
I remember Magnus the Red like a month ago.
Yeah, yeah. I remember spelling his name as a challenge.
Yeah. Maybe we did. I think it was one of the first 40K episodes we did, like earlier on for sure. He's the leader of the Ultramarines faction of Astartes Space Marines,
right? Which is the blue guys.
Yeah, the quintessential blue guys. When you see a space marine, like your default one is the Ultramarines, and they're led by Robuti Gulliman. And I think his resurrection like has happened in the intervening years since we recorded that episode. Even like I think that's been added to the fiction. You know what I mean? Since because obviously these are all ongoing stories, and a lot of the Horus Heresy is still ongoing and to this day.
Very cool.
The whatever the cause, all these tumultuous events of the 41st millennium kind of converge culminating in this galaxy altering rupture.
I was thinking it's a good thing these guys keep making lore, huh? Or else we'd be shit out of luck.
I'm never out of job.
Yeah, would we have to make our own? Oh, God.
When you said like you're going to take over doing the 40K lore, or you're going to start like stepping into this zone, I'm like, go nuts, dude! Like, there's so much, and they release a new freaking book every year. Like,
we'll never catch up. We have two or three Fallout episodes. There's a 250 episode podcast on Fallout lore.
There you go.
We could just get super micro on anything, I guess.
Well, especially with all these tangents.
my bad.
with the opening of the Great Rift comes an onslaught of unrestrained empiric energy and malevolent darkness, an upheaval known as Noctis Eterna to the Imperium. I believe that means eternal night. Yeah. Without, I did Google some of the Latin in this episode. Didn't Google that one. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can nail it. This phenomenon alone wrought devastation in consuming worlds, fleets, and legions. And I have a quote from Commissar Conrad at the launch of the Indomitus Crusade, which was the crusade to respond to this new threat. The flames of hatred rage across the galaxy. Like a forest, humanity stands before it all, but ready to be consumed. Despite the darkness that has cut our galaxy in twain, we must find unity and faith and stand against those that would destroy us, our weapons roaring in defiance. We will cross the scar of chaos and reunite humanity step by bloody step.
Cool.
So this happens, this great rift opens, and if you're a rogue trader at the time, you get a letter. Your owl flies in through the owl hole and brings you your magic letter. It bears the seal of Rabuti Gulliman, the Primarch of the Ultramarines and Imperial Regent, an honor none can refuse. You can't refuse an invitation, right? From this guy.
It'd be such a good scene where it's like, you're above the law, Harry. I'm what? And it just like gives him a gun and a spaceship.
You're above the law, but also you got this invitation and you have to attend. Like, yeah. What law is saying I have to attend?
You don't want to stay with your evil step-parents. You're going to go anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yet from this auspicious beginning would unfold an arduous odyssey. For countless Terran years, so many rogue traders had not gathered in one place. Even meetings of a mere handful were an extreme rarity. And suddenly he's got hundreds of them kind of all gathered in one space.
Dang.
Ultramar, where Robuti serves from, also the name of a gas station in Quebec.
That's funny. You think the guy who sells gas is, oh, it's the patrol planet.
It's Ultramar. I really tried to blow past it because I'm sure we made this joke when we did the Robuti Gulliman and the Ultramarines episode.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm not going to let that pass.
not once, and also no, not twice.
Did we put out enough like gas station egg salad sandwiches for all the pirate kings or no?
I hope so.
I had a good one on the train home yesterday.
So Ultramar bore the scars of war. In particular, the realm of the Ultramarines, once impregnable, had been shattered by the Daemon Prince Mortarion and his death card during the Plague Wars, leaving devastation in their wake. So his home is kind of just ravaged. This, you know, rift has appeared across the galaxy, and now he summons all these people, and they're probably there like, he's probably going to ask us to deal with all this horror and shit going on, right? he did lead a stalwart defense during the Indomitus Crusade, but not everything was healed. His planet was still kind of in tatters. His forces kind of lay in ruin to some extent. Gathering in the halls, the assembled rogue traders showed deference to the Primarch, but Gulliman's stance was one of equality. He kind of talks to them as equals. He's like, oh, you don't need to bow to me, a 12-foot tall person. When you stand normally, it's like you're bowed.
Yeah.
Ultramar had suffered plagues, supernatural in origin, relentless in their spread. Chaos forces, driven back but not eradicated, left an imprint of Nurgle, a dark god's virulent touch. So even though they beat back Mortarion's Death Guard and managed to win the wars, kind of where the bodies fell, these, you know, plagues of Nurgle were kind of sprouting up.
Right. Okay.
Which I don't think Pete made it to that one, but I love Nurgle. Nurgle's like cool guy. Yeah. He's a plaguey kind of dude, but he's very jovial. He's very cool. He's kind of based in this whole world of everybody's going to kill everyone anyways. So.
Yeah. That's it. Jamie, you didn't want to be a Staker. You wanted to be a servant of Nurgle.
Yeah, actually playing in the pus fields. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, a little like just like playing on his pimples, Papa Nurgle's pimples.
Yeah, yeah. I got an eye infection from a I have an eye infection from a normal lake right now. I can't imagine what would happen if I went to one of Nurgle's.
You'll
lake.
Adapt, but, isn't that the whole thing?
An infection is a gift. That's the thing.
Oh, that's
right?
True. Yeah. I got a little Nurgle in my. I can wink it at you.
Yeah, you're Nurgling your poop eye. Through the Indominus Crusade, Gulliman had surveyed a galaxy ablaze and foresaw the Imperium's recovery. Amidst conflict, he contemplated how to rebuild, recognizing the significance of these rogue traitors. Chosen by Gulliman, these rogue traitors were to champion the Imperium's future as pioneers, not warriors or bureaucrats. Their battlefield lay in the uncharted expanse of space. Their mission? Discover new worlds for mankind, realms for settlement and prosperity. Warp storms from the Cicatrix Maledictum's birth had severed much of the galaxy, yet they also unveiled unexplored routes in the fringes of Imperial space. Opportunity, hope, and peril awaited in these uncharted regions, where danger meant not all would return. This is kind of why I'm like, I read this, I was like, oh, this seems like the perfect setting to set your CRPG in, right? Like,
yeah, it also, like, I was just thinking that, like, because like that's the setup for like No Man's Sky, which a lot of people like, and coming up soon, like Starfield, a lot of the marketing has been about like just exploring space. I'm like, you know, like, I don't know if I'm going to be into Starfield, but like, it's a great idea for a video game, and like the hard science fantasy of 40K is probably a hell of a lot more interesting.
Yeah. So at the Macrad Symposium, Gulliman offers an exit, an honorable retreat from the perilous endeavor. Anybody can just opt out. This doesn't sound like your thing. Nobody steps back. Okay. You know, whether that's duty, whether that's a sense of adventure, whether it's just pride and being like, I'm not going to be the first one to step back. You know what I mean? Just like hundreds of people just being like, one person, please just fucking walk away and I'll walk away with you. Please, please, please.
But also, like, it was the offer like, okay, you need to go straight edge now, or you can be my personal pioneers. But like, if you go straight edge, all of a sudden you have to like abide by the laws of the Imperium completely. We're gonna take away your letter of mark and your nobility and shit, right? Like,
No, I believe it was just like a hey, nothing, like nothing changes, just you can leave.
Oh, nothing changes. Okay.
Yeah, I believe. I think that's like, I think from a storytelling point of view, that's the way to tell it. Again, he did handpick the. It's not every rogue trader. He did kind of handpick the rogue traders that he summoned. He didn't summon every single one of them, or maybe he did, and some of them may have not just answered the summons. But at least all the ones who answered the summon did go, and also like. The writing is kind of on the wall, even for these people, I think, where like, yeah, you kind of live this life of relative freedom. But like, yeah, the forces of chaos are seriously fucking humanity up. So like, you know, you probably want to help a little at least. And this is like a way that like just go away from the fighting and like build us more settlements where there's not fighting and we'll handle the fighting over here.
Yeah, you know,
like it's kind of like, yeah, sure.
A lot of good trade routes probably got cut in half when the rift opened up anyway.
Exactly.
It's mutually beneficial.
So rogue trader fleets departed Ultramar, journeying beyond the eastern fringe, and the Ultima Segmentum spiral arm holds laden with cryogenic ultramarine colonists. They sought uncharted territories amongst the youngest stars, untouched by chaos. More information on who we're sending to die of space history after the break.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no right or wrong in our profession. The present changes from the past, moment to moment. Only pray for the future to vindicate your act. That is a quote from Warhammer 40,000 Rogue Trader, the original source book, page 116. Oh, welcome cool. back from the break. We're going to dive into who gets offered these warrants of trade, what exactly the warrant of trade, and what exactly the warrant of trade constitutes. A little bit more detail on what exactly these guys do.
Wait, a what?
A what?
Warrant of
a
trade?
A warrant of terror. So there are many in the Imperium who choose the path of the rogue trader when offered. While the job might be dangerous, the prestige and wealth that can come with it is often appealing enough. The most common career paths to rogue trader start with the Imperial Navy, the Astra Militarum, the Administratum, general merchants, merchant fleets, Imperial commanders, or the Inquisition.
Politics is just a fucking revolving door, man. There's no chance for the little guy. No, it's ridiculous. Never.
I mean, especially in Warhammer 40K, like they don't know that the God Emperor is dying. Like most humans in the Warhammer 40K world don't know that like aliens or monsters exist until they show up and just kill everything on the planet kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're absolutely lied to and kept in the dark all the time. It is explicitly like a feudal system where there are noble houses and, you know, all these extra privileges.
I noticed dirt farmer wasn't a prerequisite anywhere there. So
you don't go from space dirt farmer to rogue trader.
Dang.
Too bad.
But you absolutely can go from space dirt farmer to little imp playing in Nurgle's pustules.
Okay. Yeah. Well that's at least we got that.
That's why chaos is so appealing to so many people.
Right.
So once someone has risen above their rank and caught the eye of an imperial official with the power to issue a warrant of trade, they're usually given. New warrants are bestowed upon the highest of endorsements, often by the esteemed office of the High Lords of Terra and, by extension, the Emperor himself. The issuance of a warrant is a grand affair, resplendent with opulent ceremonies, symbolizing the birth of a new noble lineage. Like I said, they're hereditary, so you get one, any children you have will get to inherit it, like a taxi license in New York or something like that.
Is that how that works?
I remember when Uber was first becoming a thing, there was a lot of talk about how, because like you have to buy a taxi license and it would cost a lot of money, like $100,000 or something like that. But you could sell them and you could like give them to your kids to like inherit or whatever.
Wow.
I wouldn't call the inheritance of a taxi license to be resplendent exactly. I think the ceremony is quite nice.
Yeah. I mean, if one's paid off, dude, that's like $100,000 token or whatever, and
yeah, exactly,
I'm pretty sure it's more than that, because I remember talking to people in Montreal and it's like closer to like $250,000 I think here.
Just pulled a number like completely out of thin air, so
all right, that's cool.
I didn't research it for this episode, believe it or not.
No. Well anyways, if you have a taxi certificate somewhere and it's completely paid off, you might have come into some money. Yeah, right?
Welcome back from the break. We're gonna tell you how to transfer your taxi license to your children. Yeah.
First, you're going to put it into a holding company. The convenient thing is, we've already set one up for you, Lore Boys LLC. Feel free
to save it for Prime. Save it for Prime.
So, should the recipient of a warrant of trade prove their mettle, they could forge a legacy that encompasses vast cosmic realms, extending the Imperium's dominion in the galaxy. Diverse motivations drive the granting of warrants. Some arise from exceptional services rendered to the Imperium, while others are born of political machinations and exigencies. There's a word that you write sometimes and you don't really say out loud all that often.
What does it mean? It's like
a need. I think so.
It's expedient.
It's when you need something. You have a need for something, you have an. I think so. Now I wrote it. Now
an urgent need or demand. Yes.
There you go.
What's the word?
Exigency.
I really wrote it.
I like it.
It's pronouncing it is harder than I thought about when I was dead tired finishing this script. Hereditary in nature, rogue trader warrants pass from one generation to the next, ensuring an unbroken line of heirs to inherit the mantle. While many rogue trader dynasties fade, new ones continually emerge, supplying an unending stream of aspirants driven by the urge to extend the Imperium's grasp.
Always more. Capitalism, baby. Never ends.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Colonize.
Always. The ABCs of colonizing is always be capitalism.
Always be
colonizing.
Or colonizing. Fuck.
The following are key reasons for bestowing trade. Military service. A frequent avenue for obtaining warrant trade is recognition of stellar military service. I didn't even realize. No pun intended. To the Imperium. amid a galaxy ablaze with myriad conflicts, Lord Generals and High Admirals spearhead vast Imperial crusades, reclaiming regions lost to rebellion or alien incursions. Leading countless warriors and armadas, they may seize dozens of worlds in the Emperor's name over solar decades. These triumphant figures ascend to the highest echelons of honor, adorned with countless medals, celebrated in victory parades, and honored with festivals. / luminaries, often uneasy in civilian circles, rarely retire after their military triumphs. You don't just like leave the Marines, you go get a job for Blackwater or whatever.
Yeah.
The restless energy they possess finds purpose as rogue traders, channeling their inexhaustible spirit for the betterment of the Imperium.
Can't take the traitor out of the rogue. Exactly. they can't reintegrate.
And that's really the only honorable way to get, or the most common ways to get a warrant of trade. That's really the only honorable one. So the next is political expediency. Not all warrants of trade are granted as overt accolades. Some arise from pragmatic necessity. Throughout history, crusade fleet leaders, while conquering the emperor's name, have occasionally established their own rule over newly acquired realm. These rulers, varying in their allegiance to the Imperium, sometimes maintain a semblance of fealty as long as obligations are fulfilled.
Yeah, so like if you're a president or something and you have a son who likes to smoke crack and bang whores, then you send him to a different galaxy. You'd be like, exactly. You're a rogue trader now. It's politically expedient for you.
Congrats, dude. Congrats. I'm a trader and a hunter? What?
Oh, dude. Fucking 40K rogue hunter would be a way better game.
Or hunter trader.
Yeah. Just like smuggling crack between planets.
So pretty much it's people will have their own realms they've kind of like acquired through whatever means. The emperor will kind of like, or the nobles of Terra will kind of take notice and be like, hey, you're kind of like conquering a lot. Is this really serving the Imperium's needs? And then they'll kind of offer you or you'll go out and get a warrant of trade, as a result. So absolute power becomes irresistible, compelling conquerors to reject their Imperial bonds, assert dominion over their hard-won territories. The Imperium is then left with the option of launching a crusade against them to oust their newfound leader, right? Of course, to get around such scenarios, you pick up a warrant of trade, or maybe the Empire. Christ. Wait, where's the soundboard, dude? You gotta play where's the what sound?
I was gonna play some more soundboard, but you seem to really not like it.
Bruh. Oh my god.
I hate it for our audio medium. Go the fucking stream on Twitch again, dude. Do it there all you want.
What do you mean? A soundboard for an audio medium? It's made for this.
That's fair. That's a fair criticism. So instead of launching a crusade, the Imperium will just be like, fine, you can have that stuff. Here's your warrant.
Right? Okay. Yeah. That is a fair, I was going to say fair trade, a little punny, fair exchange. Just like, we will glass your planet and kill everyone you've ever met, or you can just put the Emperor's name on your stuff from now on.
Exactly, yeah. You conquer the stuff for the name. And it's really just like, these people basically just like become rogue traders without the warrant of trade and do it so well that the Imperium's just like, all right, fine, here's your warrant.
Right.
Yeah.
So next we've got space ducks, of course. By default, they get wish you their warrants of trade.
Yeah, there's one that says Kirby Re, and I'm really tempted to press it, but I feel like it's good. Okay, we can move on. I'll stop pressing it.
The God Emperor of Mankind, when he visits his duck pond in the back, if he runs out of bread, sometimes he'll just throw warrants of trade into the water.
Into
the water.
Yeah.
Next most common way to get a warrant of trade is self-promotion, also known as being corrupt, I guess.
Wait, you can promote yourself? That's easy, man. That's
if you have the gusto to do it, it's the George Costanza, just like, you know, just fake it till you make it, pretend like you weren't fired kind of mentality, and pretend like you were promoted until everybody believes it. Could you imagine the bureaucracy trying to run a galaxy of like a trillion people? Like, you could absolutely just be like, Janet on Sigmund 4 told me that I got the promotion, so like I guess you're gonna have to send her an email, like, because I don't know what to tell you,
Yeah, no, that's
on the mom banging planet.
Yeah, get a shot at Marissa Tomei at the end of it. Everything's great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Elevating oneself to a position of authority within the intricate web of the Imperium's bureaucracy demands an unwavering drive and an indomitable personality. Amidst all the multitudes of the Imperium, the path to recognition requires a ruthless and efficient self-promotion sometimes. So usually these are the more like, some rogue traders are very noble. They believe in self-sacrifice. And then others are just like, these people are just like, yeah, I'm just going to promote myself. No problem. You know, usually it involves a lot of bribing, or the leveraging of longstanding debts and favors from powerful friends that you might have. Once our Nepo baby has their warrant, they may aspire to carve out modest cosmic domains beyond the Imperium's grasp, while others seek to lay foundation for a noble lineage. They're trying to set up.
No wonder he's so successful. His last name is also of mankind.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, he must be related.
Ah.
Finally, the recognition that we need on this show for our great, great jokes. It's often observed that a lot of rogue traders are vain and egotistic, while plenty of them are venal and even megalomaniac. And these ones are probably the biggest embodiment of those, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Lastly, the last most common way to get a warrant of trade is actually by like
a lot.
Being exiled, essentially. Sometimes you just rub people the wrong way, and some socialite wasps might get together to try and oust you from polite society.
Yeah.
you just
keep pressing buttons on the soundboard, and people are just trying to have a conversation, talking about some rogue trader stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And you press something called Kirby Re, and it just fucking derails everything. Mm-hmm, and before you know it, you lost your warrant of trade. Your what? But anyways.
Mm-hmm. Your what?
I like the fact that you can just get ejected from polite society. It's just like, okay, you have to go be a rogue trader now because we don't like having you around, but your bathroom full of classified documents you get to keep.
Yeah, exactly. it's like if you're too powerful or difficult to just like get rid of, sometimes you just get a warrant. It's like, surprise, we got you a warrant of trade. And you're like, but I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
You're like,
abdicated all your holdings.
So the honor is usually too great for you to just decline. So you're stuck heading out to the fringes of known existence, aka Oregon.
It sounds like a blessing though. Like in this universe, like what are you gonna do? Stay at home and like end up fighting some war anyways? It's like just take it. You know, take your order.
No, the galaxy's big, and like if you're already like most of these people are already like nobles, and they have like noble lineages, and they're on like cushy planets with like all these servants, you know, and they like we're the Emperor's chosen. We're not getting invaded. Like the Astartes will defend us. They won't defend the common man.
They're under the P. They're at the P under the pillow planet instead of the petrol planet. It's just lots of pillows. They could tell where the P's are. Yeah.
Lots of pillows. Identifiable peas.
Yeah. Well, yes. They have slaves to take the peas out of the mattresses, right? So you don't have to experience that anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
What was that about? That was like the person who could tell there was a pea under the pillow could marry the princess or something. Anyway,
it was like under a stack of mattresses, but yeah.
Yeah. That's a weird thing. That's a weird flex.
Yeah, I don't know.
Princess and the pea.
The pea lore, please. Yeah. When I'm not here. So gaining the powers and privileges of that warrant obviously isn't free of consequences. Rogue traders' fleet might wield substantial military might, and the warrant often comes with specific requirements. In fact, if there are no conditions attached, it's a clear indication that an individual is just being banned. It's like, here's your warrant of trade, and like your list of duties section is just like blank. Basically like, you know, the movers and the shakers of the noble class will be like, well, look at this nouveau riche guy. Give him a warrant. Let's totally prank that Chester Haverford fella and give him a warrant of trade. Send him to the fringes of space.
Oh, devious, Ethan. Devious.
Sometimes too, like the authorities the authorities are always involved, whether it's like socialites that have bribed the authorities to issue the warrant of trade, or even authorities themselves that are like, oh boy, this guy sure is spouting off a lot of communism, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, it's like, this guy talks about healthcare a whole hell of a lot on this planet here.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's usually just like, let's hope he dies on a distant planet, you know? So conditions linked to a warrant, that like duty section that says fuck off, can vary widely. Sometimes it says fuck off, sometimes it says other stuff. Generally, it involves some sort of military duty or you know, involvement with exploration, the Imperium's goals, basically.
You're going to sell all the chains to the chain knife guys. You got to get all the chains, bring them here, we'll pay you money for it.
You got to go to the chain planet, harvest the chains, build out some chain mines for us.
Yes,
we can put them on our chain swords.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this army's only as strong as its weakest link, so we need you out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Boy, this sucks. I mean, don't talk to the guy going to the flamer planet.
The grenade planet, just all the planets are so bad for the weapons.
Like, there's no industry in the Imperium of Man whatsoever. Everything is like fucking like pasture to table, just harvest it.
Yeah, that rich guy you're talking about earlier, he's from the couch planet. His name was Chester Field, I think.
Yes.
Some of the more frequent conditions, tasks you might be assigned, the primary one, making the galactic rounds. So frequent stipulation tied to the issuance of your warrant might be that we need somebody to go check out this planet, be a presence. The world might have been isolated or overlooked by Imperial authorities for generations. Maybe there's been a lack of tithes recently, we're not getting the money from these planets that we should be getting. So we just need to go check it out.
Just remind them where. Sorry,
just gotta go remind them a little that we're not getting our money that's due.
Exactly.
Pick up the planet by its ankles and shake it.
Yes,
because they didn't know there was an emperor for 10,000 years doesn't mean they don't owe us taxes.
You fly a Xenos spaceship that's just like a giant alien hand that's rubbing its like thumb and two first fingers together,
zooming across the a big rattling tin cup.
So chances are communications with a planet might have been sporadic, incomplete, unreliable. Who knows? The Rogue Trader's mission is akin to a state visit, complete with grand displays of Imperial nobility. The visit involves donning formal attire, displaying badges of authority, assembling retinues, deploying honor guards, playing music, waving flags,
digits until they comply.
Yeah, breaking kneecaps, waterboarding, all that good stuff. All of this is a deliberate spectacle designed to remind the world's leadership that the Imperium still exists and is fully aware of their existence and obligation.
Yeah, I was just imagining like orbital waterboarding where they like drop a giant towel on a city and then drop a bunch of water.
3 trillion tons of water onto a city. Tsunami from space.
We've talked about space waterboarding before. I'm absolutely sure of it because I have a memory of like us saying like in zero gravity, throwing the towel and like the blob of water on it. Oh boy.
It's our chosen method of interrogation on the Lord Wars, clearly.
Yeah. It's how we all got our.
We have an instructor in the Discord.
Yeah, it's true. we had to answer a series of lore questions between waterboarding to join the.
It's Rabute Gulliman.
Zelda had the first save file.
Some planetary governors get too big for their britches and resist the Rogue Trader's visit, displaying overt opposition or just too much gosh dang reluctance. In such cases, the Rogue Trader's role expands to include launching punitive actions to compel the uncooperative world into compliance. Which leads us to our next common task that might be issued on a warrant of trade, which is spanking the non-believers. when the display of Imperial prestige fails to yield the desired outcome and a world remains openly defiant against the Imperium, the Rogue Trader has no choice but to resort to military action.
Right.
Most newly appointed Rogue Traders are wary of wasting their resources on a small-scale conflict in Podunk County space.
It's not easy
to bring water into space. It's heavy. It's expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you don't want to waste it on some other low life's lungs or whatever.
Oh, phone call, Jamie. Was that the soundboard? What?
That was an alarm. But now you've reminded me the soundboard exists.
So. It's 5 p.m., Jamie. It's time to wake up.
Yeah, I forget why that exists, but I think it was for my train.
It's happened before that you just get like random alarms. You're like, I don't know why that's there.
Yeah. And I didn't remove it either. I said, till tomorrow. We'll deal with this again tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Every day. Also, like, you take a train once and you're like, well, I better put a repeating alarm every day at 5 p.m.
Yeah, I just put so little thought into it. Like, the amount of thought that I would have to do to just, like, fix it, to me, is not worth just turning it off whenever it happens.
So most rogue traders are like, oh, I don't want it. Like, they don't want to get involved in a war on this, like, backwater planet, right? So instead, they offer a decisive and powerful demonstration to crush any further resistance. There's these things called orbital lances. It's the favorite approach by most rogue traders. It sends a clear message that the rogue trader is not to be trifled with. Targeting key infrastructure can weaken the governor's grip on the planet and disrupt their ability to lead. Alternatively, striking a location of personal significance to the planetary ruler might shift their perspective, right? Obliterating a luxurious palace or prized retreat, you know, their prize-winning poodle. From space could lead to a change in their stance.
The tree with their initials and their lover's initials carved into it, just like evaporated to space.
Should the initial show of force prove inadequate, a more sustained campaign may become necessary. No rogue trader seeks to be entangled in war. There are times when it becomes inevitable, however.
Wars are expensive.
Exactly.
And I'm not out here to spend money. I'm here to make money, dude.
It's not easy to resupply your ranks of sycophants and Astartes warriors while on the fringes of space, right?
Yeah.
Usually they'll offer like a political machinations, things like that. But sometimes they gotta shoot giant lasers from space. You know,
gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Sometimes. The next biggest or another thing that might show up on your warrant of trade is the colonization mandate. Sometimes, you know, you're just got to establish new settlements in the emperor's name. That's all we need you to do. So here's your warrant of trade. Here's your noble lineage and your license to kill. go find your final sport, please.
That's cool. You get a new last name and a license to kill. That's awesome.
Hell yeah. So the Adeptus Mechanicus, the kind of like the machine folk, with their explorator fleets, will scour the cosmos. They'll meticulously record and document celestial phenomena, stellar bodies, and habitable planets. When a potentially habitable planet is identified, the report is forwarded to the Administratum, where it is very quickly lost for centuries. Essentially, they file it away. They're like, cool, yeah, there you go. If you know, it sits there for a long, long time. Until eventually it kind of bubbles its way back up to the surface. And, you know, eventually it will be issued to a rogue trader to be like, hey, here's this planet that's been sitting on my desk for 3 millennia. You want to go check it out? So oftentimes during the passage of time between the initial exploration and the settlement mission, a lot's changed. a lot of events may have shaped the planet's fate. Could have been ravaged by galactic warfare, seized by alien forces, you know, absorbed into a galaxy spanning chaos rift. It's not unheard of for a rogue trader to arrive in such a world only to find it uninhabitable, already inhabited, incorrectly categorized. Who knows? You know, the true horror, the incorrect categorization.
I would love to think it's just like, you're like the newest rogue trader on the block and you don't get the respect from the other boys because you don't have the experience. And it's just like, you have to clear out the backlog of like colonization orders, basically.
Yeah.
That have been there for 25,000 years.
Yeah. Here's the, let's say, oh, you're a new rogue trader. What's your task? Oh, you got to colonize worlds. Okay. Let's see. You know, all the good worlds are taken. You know that, right? We got the bumblebee sting world. What do we got here? We got a broken glass world. You can go colonize that one if you want. Just covered in broken glass. What do you like? What's your preference, huh?
Yeah, I was really hoping something uninhabited, maybe something that smells nice. Is there some kind of cologne planet?
You want the cologne planet? Okay, sure. That stuff, you know, really gets into the urethra, really stings. Just so you know, just something to watch out for. We get a lot of complaints about that one here at the Administratum. Okay, so there you go, cologne planet. Burning pee planet, some people call it. So go out and have fun.
That would give you a headache.
Drinking cologne.
Well, it's all there is. That's all there is. There's no land, no trees, just cologne. A planet of cologne.
23,000 kilometer cologne ocean.
And baby ducks in dish. There. I'm glad you were on it, James. I was so worried that of all the times you were going to fuck that one up.
Yeah, small round of applause.
So a lot of colonies fail. Obviously, they don't last beyond a standard year, whatever the arbitrary measurement of time is. A fortunate few do manage to defy the odds, existing on the fringes of imperial rule alone in the cosmic dark.
Next up, I just got here. Their sun exploded at some point. It's just done.
You don't understand. There's nothing here. What do you mean there's nothing? No. Our records show that 3 millennia ago, there was definitely a planet there.
Yeah, it could have been yesterday. I don't fucking know. It exploded. Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm telling you what the order says. The order says you got to sell it. You got to settle it, buddy. Okay. So figure it out. It's not our problem. I don't know what to tell you.
Just push the Emperor's flag into a cloud of dust. Just like, there it is, I guess.
Next up is reclamation. A frequent stipulation of warrant is that the retrieval of lost imperial worlds, fallen victim to rebellion, alien onslaughts, natural catastrophes, kind of some of the stuff that we kind of talked about. And oftentimes the reclamation stipulation comes after reclamation stipulation. There's an album title for you.
That's a great one. Yeah,
comes after the colonization, so they'll get there. They'll realize, like, oh yeah, by the way, this is inhabited by a million bees. This planet. It's like, well, okay, reclaim it in the name of the emperor then. They rarely involve diplomacy, these missions, obviously. Demand for immediate surrender might be the extent of communication. It's usually just like, hey, that's our planet. What are you doing?
Okay.
Imperial records show that we once cared about this planet, 4 million years ago.
Yeah. I'm picturing once they go to colonize and there's already been like a meteor hit the Earth and everyone's just like a skeleton, you know? Like, oh, yeah. Well, less work, I guess. Yeah. No taxes to collect, but yeah.
Who's in charge here? Just like handing the writ to a skeleton, the wrist just breaks off.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, well, here you go, colonists. Here's your planet. Have fun sweeping out all the bones.
Are we worried about what would have made all these skeletons?
It's not my problem. I'm here to get you guys here, deal with any threats, and I don't see any threats around, so have fun.
Yeah.
Boy, that sun looks like it's getting brighter, huh? Well, I better get going.
Yeah. And then the hand asking for money just takes off. And
yeah.
Cha-ching,
cha-ching, cha-ching. Intelligence on these worlds, like I said, can be outdated, suppressed. Rogue Trader leads a warlike Imperial Crusade, possibly aided by additional military forces under their command, including, as we said before, Adeptus Astartes. Although the Astartes, the Space Marines, always for a limited duration. So you don't get those on retainer. You kind of get them for specific uses.
They're just there to like intimidate the leader of whatever planet you're on so that they comply, basically?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You're like, hey, if you guys don't comply, I'm going to call my big bro, literally the 12 foot tall space marine. It's going to come beat you up.
They're going to start to beat you up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No round of applause. Wow. Okay.
No, don't always need a round of applause. What an episode's enough.
So despite their potential figurehead role, the Rogue Trader does not directly control most of their military units, especially not the Astartes. They kind of say like, these people are not kowtowing to the Emperor's will. So can you guys please just come beat them up? And that's pretty much the amount of bossing around they can do of the 12 foot tall superhumans.
Yeah, right.
An administrative body, often called a Crusader Council, is formed to strategize and address political concerns, leveraging the Rogue Trader's diplomatic skills. Each council member holds considerable power, making resource allocation paramount. The extent of the Rogue Trader's actual participation usually hinges on their background. So if they came from the military, if they came from the Imperial Navy or whatever, they probably have more clout in commanding armies. If they were, one of those like socially exiled ones, it's probably like, yeah, fucking hands off the military campaign, dude. Like you're not allowed to boss our troops around. So, yeah. And then finally, the last one, the one I think that we would all be most excited for is to boldly go, right? Exploration is the core mission of all Rogue Traders. At times they may be directed by Imperial authorities to investigate specific regions of the galaxy, like Rabuti Gulliman saying like, hey, you guys got to go explore this region to make sure that we can settle our Ultramarin citizens, colonists there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, the Imperium possesses incomplete knowledge of the uncharted region. There might be hinting of valuable resources or strategic assets there. There could be records hinting at isolated human worlds or alien cultures. Maybe there's ancient Necron tomb worlds that we want to just go make sure, like, if they're not woken up, do we want to just, like, set up some bases near there? Whatever it might be. from the wiki, I got colossal super weapons from extinct civilizations. Just like, yeah, go check that out. We heard that they had we heard that they got a gun as big as a star. Go check it out.
Make sure it's registered. Bring back the serial number. We will send somebody to check it out in 5,000 years. Just
yeah, oh exactly. My god! Imagine a serial number that goes the length of a star, but it's like normal writing and it's all the way.
Oh my god! Yeah,
it's just a guy like scribbling down. Fuck, was that an N or an M? Fuck.
Yeah. Be like those monks that translate the Bible from like Latin into English. It's just like the only thing they do for their entire lives.
Yeah, and they call it rib instead of half. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Idiots. I mean, there's also from that same channel, there's another word which appeared in the pre-translated version before the King James version. This word appeared 27 times and was completely removed. Every instance of it was completely removed in the King James version. You guys want to take a guess at what that word might be?
Equality? Forgiveness? I don't know.
You're on the right track, but not quite.
Love.
Tyrant. Because if you're King James and you're publishing a new Bible for the common man, you probably don't want them to be thinking of tyrant or tyranny.
I was like, oh, I heard that before, but you told me that at the fire. I remember that now. Okay. There you go. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if a rogue trader is going on a mission of exploration to find a giant gun, they'll probably get some Adeptus Mechanicus to come along with them. Or if they're going to find tomb worlds, things like that, they got Ordo Xenos of the Inquisition, right? People to help purge the non-believers, essentially. And that's rogue traders. That's the life of a rogue trader from start to finish, from baby to finish. Like I said, the game is, the launch date is announced as 2023, but no specific launch date given at time of recording anyway. But
Silk Song situation.
Exactly. Yeah, I fucking believe Silk Song when I see it too. We'll get fucking quantum walkie talkies before I'll get that game. Okay, you know what? I get the soundboard now. That did feel good. I hope you enjoyed listening to the show. If you want to join the conversation and reach out to us, joining our Discord is a great way to do that. We also have some social medias like Instagram and. Is Twitter Discord. Still alive? We definitely don't check Twitter. Is it a website still? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Don't send us messages on Twitter. Well, the one time I checked, it was like 8 months out of date, so I didn't respond. So.
Yeah. if you have sent us a message and we didn't respond because you listened to one of our old episodes where we really plugged Twitter, thinking that we would have the follow through, we're sorry. We also have an email, contact@loreboys.com, or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, check out our new website, loreboys.com or theloreboys.com. You can see, I don't think it's updated all the way, so, but we'll get there.
I haven't done it yet. Yeah.
But Pete, we got a new
website. And moaning about how I didn't give them the password, so you couldn't update the stuff. Then I did give them the password. He's like, cool, I'll check it later today, and then never did.
Yeah. So,
to be fair, I asked.
All I'm saying is it's off my plate now.
Yeah. I asked for the mailbag to edit early because I'm on vacation, but I think I'm even just going to get this episode out last minute. So yeah. Work is hard, guys. Work is hard. Yeah.
Yeah. All three of us off for work today and me on vacation since June, but work is hard.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. If you want to help the show, best way to do so is to leave us a stellar review on your podcast app of choice or to tell your friends. We don't advertise the show at all. So the best way to help us grow is by telling your friends who might enjoy listening to us. Pete, is there anything going on with Instagram these days?
Nothing new. Just always special. Nothing new, though. So @LoreboysPodcast on Instagram. Check out our title cards. Send us dank memes. Everybody has the same algorithm now, which is very great. So I get the same stuff over and over again. My God. Yeah, that's the only social media I got to plug is the old Instagram. And then, thanks to everybody who like responds to stuff and comments on the Instagram, too, because the Instagram algorithm is something I don't understand, but it's going well. So keep up the feedback, guys. I love hearing from you.
Cool. Yeah. And Jamie, is there anything you want to plug?
Discord.gg/. Oh, he found it.
I've known where it was this whole time. I'm just a goddamn professional, Jamie.
I thought we'd add a little spice. Okay. So if you want to get into the Discord, then.
And I think that would constitute Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.